Hello, and welcome to the OTP, the one true podcast for fanfiction readers, writers, and lovers. As always, I'm your host and mod, Enthusiasm Girl. Today's podcast topic is one I was really excited to do, because it's the first show where we're going to actually delve into something I've been wanting to do since we started the show, which is talk about a specific fandom, which today is going to be Daredevil and Defenders fandom. Now, as our listeners by this point may know, this fandom is one that I personally am an enormous part of. It's the fandom where I actually met quite a few of our contributors, so it's come up a bit before. But this is an opportunity for us to actually share some of the common tropes, the trends, the things going on that are specific to that fandom that we love so much. Now, in case you're listening to this thinking, well, this isn't really my thing, I'm not in that fandom, I want to let everyone know that the reason I wanted to explore Daredevil fandom specifically is that I actually think it's a really good example of a brand new fandom, less than a year old, that's still evolving. It's going through an interesting transition with the release of Jessica Jones and the move towards the promised Defenders miniseries, and it was interesting to me to be able to really talk about Daredevil in the context of how all fandoms evolve early on, and to take a snapshot of it now so that we can potentially come back to the topic in a year or so and get a really good view of things that happened that were unexpected and the ways that fandoms can grow and change over time. Now, my contributors for this episode are Amanda, who you just heard talking about Warnings and Triggers and Squick from last week, and Bernie, who was a part of our Angst and Hurt Comfort show. And it was a fun conversation because we got a chance to talk about potential ship wars in that fandom, why BDSM and slavery AUs specifically seem to be so common, what the emerging Jessica Jones fandom is actually beginning to look like, and the way it loves Femslash, and we also talk about what we hope for the other two Defender series, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. So please join us as we consider the evolution of a new and emerging fandom. Amanda and Birdie, I met you guys through Daredevil fandom, and that's kind of, I think, our primary fandom right now, so we're going to talk a little bit about the evolution of that. I want to start by kind of talking about how we came to Daredevil specifically from whatever other fandom we were in at the moment, and what drew us into that fandom, before we kind of talk about how it evolved from there, because I think all of us have been there since almost the beginning, I want to say.
Because it's
a relatively new fandom. So we'll start with you, Amanda. Do you want to tell us how you got involved in Daredevil?
I just got involved in Daredevil because in that point in time, I hadn't really gotten into anything for a long time. Like, probably the last big thing was Hannibal, and Hannibal was on break, and Daredevil came out on Netflix. And at first, like, I remember back when they announced the initial casting for Daredevil, I was like, I don't really care. Like, I'm probably not going to watch that, and then it came out, and I was like, well, I don't really have anything better to do with my time. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it out, and I'll see what I think. And soon I was watching, like, all of the episodes in really quick order, trying to finish it because I loved it so much.
And what kind of drew you specifically into fan fiction about it? Is that something you always do with the fandom, or was there a particular moment when you said, I need fan fiction of this?
It's something I do typically with fandom. There are certain things where I watch it and I enjoy it, but I sort of don't think about it later. But, like, Daredevil in general, I found myself thinking about it a lot, and I was like, okay, I gotta go look up fan fiction for this. I gotta look up if there's, like, a Dreamlith kink meme for it or something like that. Sure enough, there was. Sure enough, it was very active, and that's just sort of the beginning of where I am now.
What were the particular things you were looking for initially from Daredevil fic?
I think that a lot of people, myself included, really enjoyed the 10th episode of Nelson versus Murdoch And with all those flashbacks, like, I kind of went from, oh, these two are really cute and I like them a lot, to, like, I need fan fiction about them in a pairing right now, immediately. So I typically went looking for fan fiction about Matt and Foggy.
I mean, I think that's pretty typical. You're right. Nelson v. Murdoch is definitely the most written about and rewritten about and rewritten about episode, specifically, I think, in the fandom. It was probably the tipping point for most people. Birdie, what about you? What kind of got you into Daredevil?
Well, I was a little late. Like, I didn't get into it till it had been out for nearly a month and a half, because I heard it had come out. My younger brother watched it and he was like, oh my god, it's so brilliant, go watch it, because we're both into Marvel. And I'm like, I'll get round to it. We got Netflix and it was on there, and I was like, I remember being told this is good. All right, I'll go watch it, because I'd seen a couple of gifs on Tumblr. Okay. And I watched the first 5 or 6 episodes that night, and I was like, this is really good. I have to go to bed now, but I'm going to watch the rest tomorrow. And I was already reading fic for Karen, Matt, and Foggy, so like their friendship and their relationship, before I'd finished watching the series. So I accidentally spoiled myself for a few of the moments at the end of the show, but I was just so, this is so good, I have to keep watching. And then when it was ended, I was like, I need to read more fics. So I went to find the kink meme, and I think it took me about a week before I was writing fic.
So was it the character dynamics initially then?
The characters dynamics, yeah. And just, also, I'm one of those people who really likes crossovers, so it was like, I wanted to see them meeting other characters as well that I knew. So it took over my life. It came at the right time, because I had exams coming up, so I needed a reason to procrastinate, and it was perfect.
For me, I know, I was at the time very, very big into Marvel fandom anyway, but I was getting a little bit bored with Marvel fandom. I'd been working on a WIP in that fandom forever, which was kind of getting to the point where it was a drag. I wasn't finding as good fics being written for Marvel generally. It had, you know, been a while since a movie had come out, so it wasn't a very interesting fandom to be in at that point in time. And I watched Daredevil because I love Marvel, and I remember that afterwards I was kind of allowing a lot of the stuff in it to percolate in my brain, and I started to see in the Marvel feed all of the fics show up, and it hadn't really occurred to me that that was something I wanted. And then there was a really pretty good Matt Murdock, Tony Stark ship fic, which I think, I don't even think I have to name it, because I think it's still the only one on AO3 with that particular pairing that's not comic book related. But it was written really early on, and so I will read anybody shipped with Tony Stark. Like, I will read Jarvis, or, like, his suit. Like, anything you ship with Tony, I will read it. So I read that fic, and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And I decided I'm going to write some drabbles, because for me, I couldn't stop thinking about Matt's senses. I couldn't stop thinking about the way he perceives the world and how much more there would be to that than what the show shows you. So for me, it was like, okay, so we have this character who all of these big plot things are happening to, but, like, what happens when he has a shower? Right? Like, what happens when he walks down the street? What happened when he was a kid after his dad died? Like, the most mundane things, because he can hear things from blocks away, and his sense of smell is so strong and his sense of taste is so precise. I just wanted to know how you would live every moment like that. So I said, I need a break from my longer fic. I wrote a bunch of little drabbles, which I almost never do, because I wanted to prove I could, and I wanted to put myself in his perspective and explore that. They went over pretty well. I didn't know there was a kink meme to look for, because I had never participated in one before, but when I started reading the fics, I found out that it was there, and it absolutely sucked me in. I've never participated in a fandom to this degree before. Usually it was just, I would go read a few fics and maybe write one, but I wasn't in the fandom, versus this is, you know, I added a whole whack of people on Tumblr who were in the fandom, and now I have Tumblr friends from the fandom, and Google Hangout chats in the fandom, and I do the kink meme, and so it just kind of sucked me in to the point where now I've written 100,000 words of Daredevil fanfiction, and it did only just come out in April.
Like, yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah,
it has not been a year yet, and I'm just kind of in it. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that because I also want to talk about how the fandom evolved. Daredevil is a fandom that comes up quite a lot on the podcast because so many of the people who contribute kind of come from that fandom. So I don't want to talk necessarily about Daredevil, like, and it's the show. I want to talk about a new fandom, right? So how the things that are happening in Daredevil kind of apply to how new fandoms evolve, with this one still being relatively young, so that maybe in a year or so we can check back in and do another episode to kind of see what the landscape looks like. And the reason for that is if you think about where Sherlock fandom might have been just after that first season dropped versus now, yeah. If you think about the evolution of how big it's gotten, the ship wars, the new characters who've been introduced, the ways that the fandom has kind of mutated into other things, it's interesting to kind of be able to take that temperature with a fandom like Daredevil, especially because we'll talk a little bit later about Jessica Jones, the other upcoming Defenders shows on Netflix, because, I mean, Daredevil is the first in a larger world, too. So, again, it's very similar to imagining talking about Iron Man fandom after Iron Man 1 versus after the first Avengers movie. It kind of became a much bigger thing as it became the Marvel Cinematic Universe as opposed to just Iron Man. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too. But we'll go back to you, Birdie. So you came in, you said, at about a month and a half in?
Yeah, late May, early June. So
what kind of shifts and trends have you seen happening in the fandom over these last kind of 6 to 8 or so months?
I'll go with the kink meme first, because it was barely busy. Like, my time zone's pretty shit, so I'll check the meme before I go to bed, and in the morning, back then I had about 3 or 4 pages worth of meat, a flat meat, to go through. It was really active. It started to slow down a lot lately. Like, it picked up a little bit when Jessica Jones dropped, but it hasn't really sort of been as busy. It used to get loads of pics, so it's quieted down a lot since. Like, it was really active when it first came out, but as you expect, it's sort of died down a bit. And there's sort of, you can see the development of fanon. People deciding this is canon, but it's not canon, it's just fanon. And you can see how that's starting to develop, especially around the things we don't know anything about. Like, Foggy's family has a lot of fanon that's starting to develop, possibly not the best thing in the world sometimes, especially people start getting a bit defensive. There hasn't actually been any shipping wars, though, which is really good. I think the other thing is, with the announcement of Season 2 and the characters that have been cast in Season 2, people are starting to bring them in. They're bringing in the comic versions of the characters to the point where you can see Matt and Frank Castle for Punisher is a very big thing in the fandom, but he hasn't actually appeared on screen yet. For those of us who don't know the comics, like, I don't know the comics, I've read the last volume, and I still haven't finished reading it because it hasn't finished being published yet. I can't write him. I don't know him, but he's half the prompt on the meme sometimes are just Matt Frank, and it's like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, that goes into something we've talked about before when we've talked about gender, when we've talked about shipping. You know, John Bernthal is a sexy man. Charlie Cox is a sexy man. I would say that a lot of that is honestly just anticipation of another sexy white guy who gets to be on the show. Because you don't see Matt Elektra yet, and that's actually more canon. I haven't seen anything. I haven't even seen even a small fic about Elektra, even though she's in the comics as well. So I don't think it's anticipating Season 2 so much as just people who would, for whatever reason, maybe don't like Matt and Foggy together or getting bored of Matt and Foggy together, deciding, hey, we'll jump on this because it's another sexy guy we can ship him with. And there's even been some rumblings, I know, on the meme about potential ship wars when Season 2 comes out, around what's going to happen if you have all of these Matt Frank people and all of the Matt Foggy people start to become irritated that nobody likes their ship anymore. You can start to get, I mean, I'm even getting annoyed because I ship Matt Foggy. I like you. I don't see the value right now in the Matt Frank pairing. And I'm getting very annoyed, to be honest, about how much of it there is already.
I'm eagerly anticipating him as a character, but until that happens.
Yeah, you can't really do anything with that yet.
What concerns me about people predicting Frank's portrayal is that Frank can tend to be different depending on what role he's fulfilling, because he is definitely a multi-role character where sometimes he's the hero and other times he's a problem for the hero to get through. And a lot of the conflicts he gets into with Matt is, I mean, most recently during Wade's run of Daredevil, you have Matt and Frank working together with Peter Parker in order to retrieve some sort of disk drive. And, you know, Matt and Peter are both telling Frank, you can work with us and we need your help, but you can't kill anyone. And Frank's whole thing is that he loves killing people. I think that's a pretty much, like, set in stone part of his character. And I feel like in the show, Frank's gonna be a villain, and he might not necessarily be a very likable person in the show. And people tend to be defanging his character when they're writing fanfic about the two of them, because Frank's a scary guy. He's a killer.
Yeah, and fans don't know yet. So this is another thing that we've talked about, I think, at length on the show, and I know there's actually an episode on canon coming up, which is that sometimes fans will set themselves up for disappointment by headcanoning something that they haven't seen yet, to the point where anything less than their headcanon is just unacceptable, right?
Right.
And yes. I feel like with Frank, like, we have not even gotten the slightest inclination of what the show intends to do with that arc. We know nothing about him other than that he looks like John Bernthal. And we vaguely know that there's comic book canon, but we also know that the MCU plays extremely fast and loose with anything from the comics. Absolutely, it does. Yes. So who knows what that's going to look like. Now, here's the one thing about Daredevil fandom that actually really interested me when I came into it, too. One of the first things I did when I became a Marvel fan and really started to get into Captain America and Iron Man was I went and read the comics. And I was desperately looking for people to talk about the comics with, and I was thinking I was going to find that in MCU fandom. I was thinking there was going to be more comic book stuff written, more people playing with comic book canon in MCU. That is not, by and large, from what I've seen of MCU fandom generally, the case. Most MCU fans don't even realize the comics exist 99% of the time. They don't take that canon into consideration almost ever. They don't care. They haven't read them. I don't know very many people who are into Steve Bucky online right now who, if I tried to talk about a Captain America plot line with from the comics, would even know.
Oh, yeah, they don't know that Bucky in the comics would have been an underage character, and it changes the dynamic. No.
And they don't write alt-verse stuff that calls upon the comic book canon. Versus what was fascinating to me coming into Daredevil fandom was, again, the first thing I did was I was like, I want more. So I went back and I read Frank Miller, I read Brian Michael Bendis, I read all the comics. I found that the Daredevil fans equally loved the comics. They were completely willing to accept comic book canon as a kind of fanon in place of things we don't know. They were completely embracing the idea of going and looking up the comics. I got into lots of great comic book conversations with them. In fact, our kink meme had to put up a separate comic book prompt post because there were people saying, hey, we can prompt a lot of MCU comic book stuff coming into the MCU, but what about the people here, and there are a lot of us, who just want to prompt comic book stuff? So the fact that that had to happen when, from what I've seen, Marvel Comics' actual comic book universe can't support a kink meme on its own, but so many people wanted to talk about Daredevil comics. It's just, to me, interesting that it's so different from the general MCU that way, that people wanted both. Right.
I think that has to do with how Daredevil is such an old character. I hadn't realized how, like, unbelievably old he was until I went back and I realized that red and yellow suit was actually his initial suit back in the 1960s. And so I feel like a lot of people grew up loving Daredevil because, again, he's really old. He's up there with Spidey. And even though Spidey has a lot more, you know, merchandise and advertising and what have you, like, Daredevil is just as old as Spidey. And the fact that he has such a big fan base makes a lot of sense because not much has changed.
But to be fair, Cap and Stark are just as old.
Right.
So it's interesting, I think, about what Daredevil fans kind of came for and how they behave being fundamentally different than MCU fans and what they're interested in.
As someone who hadn't read the comics, I hadn't even heard of Daredevil before I saw the show. I came into the fandom and everyone was talking about the comics, so it automatically became a thing where, like I said, I've read the last volume of it because it was a case of if I didn't, I would know what these people were talking about. And they were interesting. So it was a case of I've wanted to go find the rest of the comics. If they weren't so expensive, I would own a lot more of the comics than I do because it's interesting.
And it's funny that you felt that pressure, because like I said, that's not going on in other comic book to movie or TV show fandoms.
Yeah.
That you felt that pressure of everyone here, regardless of if they're brand new to comics or older to comics, everyone here has decided to go out and do that.
Right.
I think that's an interesting part of the fandom. But as you pointed out, Birdie, I think a lot of fanon has emerged, and some of it based off of comics canon, like with Matt Frank. A lot of that is coming from comic book canon of people going and reading Punisher. Foggy's family, they're taking the names and the basics of that from the comics. But Marvel plays fast and loose with canon, right, with regards to the comics coming into the movies. And Marvel Comics plays fast and loose with Marvel Comics canon.
Yeah.
Like in the most recent Daredevil in the comics, like a few months ago, he was footloose and fancy free, embracing Daredevil as a public identity. Foggy had cancer. He had a girlfriend and he was living in San Francisco. Yet the new issue number one that came out today, he is suddenly, with zero warning, nobody knows his identity again. He has a new sidekick named Blindspot. He's living back in New York. It's gone dark and gritty. Like, no explanation. So comic books don't even care about their own canon to the degree that Daredevil fans care about comic book canon.
The only thing that comic books canon cares about is how can we retcon this in a way that won't make people shake their heads.
I just think it's interesting that the stuff that's becoming codified in our fandom is kind of drawing from all these different things and then saying this is what we will write about. Like, if I went and wrote a Foggy story now, in MCU fandom, we have not met anyone in his family. All that we know is he grew up in Hell's Kitchen, which is already different from the comic books.
Right.
His last name is obviously Nelson. His mother always wanted him to be a butcher, and his parents owned a hardware store for 12 forevers. That is literally all he says about any family that he might have. Now, if you read Fick and you didn't know the show, you would be fully justified in believing that there was a long-running arc about his father named Edward, his stepmother named Anna, his bio mom named Rosalind, his one sister named Candace, and his parents owned the hardware store and then moved out to the suburbs when the store folded and their kids got older. That is literally in every single Foggy backstory Fick. Most often to use his family as a counterpoint to Matt's not having one. So they're portrayed as exceedingly normal, exceedingly kind, just made of hugs and puppies. Not one ounce of what I just mentioned is canon in the MCU. The things that are canon in comics are literally maybe two or three panels in the entire 50-year history of Daredevil comics.
I'm guilty of the fanon that you talked about, but mostly because I was writing a fic that was deliberately using the whole difference between Foggy's family and Matt's family. And I went to the comics to say, hey, does he have a canonical mother's name, a canonical father's name? Oh, yeah, he does. I'll steal the name. That is literally all I did, was steal the name and the sister's name as one of his many sisters that I happened to name in my fic. And that was all I did way back when they were first starting to write about Foggy's family. And then all of a sudden I've noticed that everyone's just done the same thing and it's become canon. And the bit about moving out to the suburbs, again, I don't know New York. I don't know the city. So I wrote something that was vaguely more like what I would know. So again, guilty of not doing enough research. But the other people seem, I didn't even realize there was a difference between the city and the suburbs like that.
See,
yeah.
I'm also guilty of it because I wrote one of the earlier fics about his bio mom in the comics, Rosalind, because I was interested in that comic book arc. So I'm just as guilty because I wrote one of the earlier ones as well. But what gets me now is that it's the point where if you did write a fic that deviated from any of that, I think people would reject it and think it was weird. And I also think that at this point, I've seen prompts on the meme that are codifying not just those characters, but, like, what their personalities are each like. And I've seen fics being like, so let's do an exploration of Foggy's sister Candace based on the fact that we all know that she's, like, X, Y, and Z. And I kind of look at that and think, you're kind of dampening the imagination that we can have in the fandom a little bit. Like, I don't think the show is going to take any of that stuff into account in his backstory, really.
I doubt the show's bother showing his backstory.
Yeah.
It's not relevant.
Well, they might, though, right? Like, you might see a sister who we would never even have thought of or something come up at some point. Like, we don't know. And I think that it's very limiting to new writers coming in when you have this massive amount of fanon that you may or may not violate. I mean, there's other pieces of fanon as well. There's a lot of sexual fanon around Matt Murdock and the way that his super senses work in sex. There's a lot of fanon around, like, Matt Murdock comes really quickly and really strongly because of his super senses. There's a lot of fanon around his relationship with his kind of teacher, Stick. There's, like, a lot of fanon around what that relationship was like. And I just feel like it gets a little bit limiting. If you look at some of the stuff being written in the early days of the fandom, it's very varied. There's a lot of kind of different approaches, different theories being put forward, and I feel like it's kind of, it's narrowed the further along we've come to what you can write that makes sense to people. Now, I came in through MCU, right? That was my thing. I came in as an MCU fan, and I started seeing a lot of Daredevil fics because a lot of the early Daredevil fics were MCU crossovers. Like you said, that's what you came for, Birdie. Someone sent me on Tumblr an image, and it was a AO3 filter that showed that, like, the third most popular character in Daredevil fandom is Steve Rogers. Because there is so much fic that crosses them. There's a lot of Matt Murdock and Clint Barton. They are called the Dumpster Buddies.
Yep.
There's a lot of Matt meets the Avengers. So, I mean, people are into the idea of bringing him into the larger Avengers world. Manda, what do you think about the idea that so much of our fandom is built on our fandom, but really the MCU?
I gotta say that I wasn't really into MCU for a really long time. Like, I'd go see the MCU movies, but I feel like a lot of it just, you know, I was becoming more and more disillusioned with the MCU, and especially with Age of Ultron, you know, it's not really a secret that I dislike Age of Ultron. So it was also kind of odd to me because when I was reading some of that crossover fan fiction, there would be things like a lot of the time, if they cross Clint Barton over into the Daredevil universe, they would be using Matt Fraction's Clint Barton. They would not be using Jeremy Renner's Clint Barton. And I think that's because everybody sort of collectively decided that they are going to ignore Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, it is fanon and MCU fandom essentially at this point that Hawkeye is Matt Fraction's Hawkeye.
Yeah, and I can't blame them because Jeremy Renner's not, like, the greatest of people. And I know I don't find him that attractive, but that's just me. But, I mean, overall, I didn't typically go into Daredevil thinking, oh, I want to read this crossed over with, like, the rest of the MCU. You know, it's going to be exciting to me if Daredevil shows up in any of the MCU movies, but I'm not really holding my breath for it, and I don't really care for MCU crossovers. I just want to read about something that's in a much smaller universe, because part of what I didn't like about MCU, and particularly the fandom, was because there's just so much content. Like, it got to a point where I was just overwhelmed with how much content there was in that fandom that I didn't really want to participate, because it was just so many characters and so many relationships that I just kind of got freaked out. So with Daredevil, I was like, okay, this is just one small thing, and it's only got this many characters, and it can only have so many possible pairings, so I'm set.
Yeah, and I think even MCU fandom, I think any fandom that chugs along long enough, you have that kind of narrowing of focus, too. So the thing about MCU fandom for me became, in the beginning, because there was so much content, there was a hugely wide variety of who was being shipped with who and what was being written. And it kind of narrowed to, like, Loki female original character, Loki Thor, Clint Coulson, you know, stucky. Like, it just narrowed to a few things. There's very little Guardians fic being written. There was very little Ant-Man fic when that one came out. There was very little New Avengers fic being written post-Age of Ultron that was about Wanda or Vision.
Man, Ant-Man made me sad. I can't believe that there wasn't more Ant-Man fanfiction, because the first thing I thought when I came out of that movie was, I want to see Scott Lang with Matt Murdock, and I want to see Scott Lang with Sam Wilson.
I wanted to see Hope with Tony Stark. That was my daddy issues pairing. But I will say, I think Daredevil did catch the MCU fandom's eye in a way that a lot of other recent MCU properties hadn't when it came to fic. Like, it's quite big within that fandom even. But there was so much MCU crossover stuff. It's lessened a little bit now, I feel like.
Right.
But it's still kind of pretty dominant.
When I was first starting out in Daredevil, I used the MCU as, like, a way to write an unfamiliar character, but still write familiar characters, like, because I had written a little bit of MCU fic. It wasn't, oh god, I've got to write these new fic characters. It's, I'm writing characters I'm already familiar with, and I'm writing new characters into it. So it wasn't quite as daunting for me.
One thing I wanted to also talk about, too, is different trends in the fandom. I've been experimenting with reading some different fandoms lately, you know, Sherlock and Supernatural, and seeing what's going on in other fandoms. And there's particular tropes that every fandom has that kind of concentrate. And there are certain trends and things with Daredevil. Like, we didn't get a lot of certain things. I know our prompt meme tends to have things where someone will come on and be like, obligatory this, because we just need one. Because every fandom has to have, like, a Alpha, Beta, Omega. Every fandom has to have a coffee shop AU. It's just a thing. But our fandom tends to kind of, I feel like, have not a lot of the weirder tropes, but we've had a lot of BDSM fic.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Definitely.
Some of the best BDSM fic I've ever read is being written in our fandom because of people's perception of Matt as a sub.
Yeah.
Primarily.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with his relationship to religion. The you know, the stereotypical image of yourself punishing Catholic. And, I mean, Catholics back in the day, I don't know if they do it anymore. I hope not. But, you know, you had people flaying themselves and stuff like that. So there's a lot of imagery of punishment when it comes to Catholicism that I don't think necessarily goes along with other religions, like Protestantism, maybe, but you still don't have, like, that really harsh, like, physical punishment and self-denial stuff that you see in Catholicism. So I think that a lot of that has to do with how Matt feels about religion, and that they try to, people try to tie that in with his relationship to sex.
I think that that also runs, though, through the core of his character anyway, where he seems like a person who is extraordinarily self-disciplined on the one hand.
Right.
Where he's all about continuing to train, even without his mentor, meditation, pushing himself through the pain. Like, there's multiple times on the show where you see him staggering, just trying to keep going through a lot of pain. Like, he almost embraces and likes the pain.
Right.
And then there's also a very self-loathing side of his character that you get the sense, like, wants to be beaten up. That's why he goes out in the suit. So I think for people that's, like, a natural fit in their heads. And for people especially who want to do kind of hurt comfort stuff with, you have Foggy Nelson on the other side of it, who is taking care of Matt. Like, there's a lot of not just BDSM, but really good Matt has to learn how to be kinky fix, where, like, he's going and being Daredevil as an outlet for urges, and somebody has to show him that there's a healthy way to, like, release those urges in a sexual fashion.
Even with that type of stuff, it's I mean, even if he does sexual things, he's usually doing it in a way that is, like, irresponsible, or will certainly get him hurt in a way that he's not supposed to get hurt. And even if it's not him going out as Daredevil, like, eventually some character finds out that Matt Murdock is going out and, like, hurting himself because of whatever reason he thinks he deserves it, and he's gotta get it fixed by them somehow.
I think we also tend to get a lot of romantic trope stuff, like, similar to the Sherlock fan, and we get a lot of really angsty dealing with sexuality fix have come out in our fandom, which is nice and interesting. A lot of kind of your romantic tropey stuff of, like, there's a lot of fake dating, there's a lot of kind of
fake marriage, romantic comedy types of things that get written about Foggy and Matt quite a lot.
Yeah.
But are there any other tropes that you guys have noticed that kind of, you don't see them as much in other fandoms, they seem specific to ours?
Not sure if it's specific to ours, but there seems to be a really big trend for the slavery fix in
Yeah. Yeah.
You can blame me for that. You can blame me for that. I wrote, you can't blame me entirely. We had a trend going on the kink meme for slavery AUs that bothered me because they were super,
they're schmoopy. Like
they were about as fluffy as a slavery AU can get, because they were about Matt being in slavery and ending up owned by Foggy, and then Foggy teaching him, like, how to be okay with being a slave, basically. Or, like, Foggy freeing him, right? And I kind of, I enjoyed those. I read a slew of them, but I'm a very kinky person. I like the really, really dark stuff. So I felt the need the one day to kind of go on to the kink meme and be like, I need to put the kink back in this kink meme. Guys, there's another thing that a slavery AU is supposed to be about, and that's just being super bad, wrong, dead dove, do not eat, terrible. Yeah. Like, so I posted a slew of prompts, and then other people posted more prompts, and it just became a recent trend on the meme that we have a lot of those.
Slavery isn't my thing, I'm not really reading it, but it's really hard when that's, for a while there, that was all that was being prompted on the meme. There's nothing wrong with people doing it, it's just that it was such an in-your-face trope because it happened all at once.
And it is one that I think, if you don't like it, like, I think people have very strong opinions about a slavery AU, because innately a slavery, like, you shouldn't have to say slavery is not my thing, right? Like, slavery shouldn't be anybody's thing, you know? So I completely understand, like, why a lot of people were just like, what is going on? I will say, I think that we are getting to the point as well where a lot of the more in canon interesting psychological explorations of the characters have kind of been written, or you'd be just repeating the same themes if you continue to write them. So a lot of people are now moving on to the phase of fandom where they're really wanting crackfic.
Things get weird.
Yeah, they're prompting stuff, like, completely out of character. You're getting to the point, like, now where I think for the first 3 or 4 months, most writers were, like, rewatching the show their third or fourth time to make sure their fics were accurate. You know, I think now people have rewatched it so much that they're just like, I know this show, I don't want to rewatch it again, so I'm just going to write this completely out of character thing, and it's fine. Like, I think it's kind of in the rear view mirror of where now people are completely out of character with it. Now, there was a prompt that was, you know, Foggy is a secret unicorn. There was a, you know, Daredevil Archer crossover. People are just kind of coming on and prompting just for the fun of it, like, whatever kind of stuff. Because we're all bored, there's very few of us who kind of have stuck around this long and not moved on to other fandoms intending to come back in season 2. As you said, it has slowed down a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that people now are just kind of grasping at straws. I think because the meme has also slowed down, I feel like, I know with my slavery AU thing, the reason I posted so many is because the ratio now of people writing to reading has completely shifted, right? So I think in early days you had a ton of writers. You had a ton of people coming, they were excited to write a new fandom, they were like, yeah, writing! And then they put in, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 words, they got bored of writing, and now they've resorted to either just reading or they're doing other fandoms. Versus the readers have primarily stayed, because I think you burn yourself out less when you're just reading. So I think the ratio has shifted, so I think now that people are also posting the most attention-getting prompts, because there's not as many fills being written, right?
Yeah.
So I think you have to come up with a fill, or with a prompt now, that nobody has seen before, or that's really gonna just grab the fandom by the balls of, like, why hasn't this been written yet? This needs to be a thing. I think that that's sort of what we're seeing too, right? If I went on tomorrow and I posted, like, I want a soulmate AU, I think people are gonna just flash by it when it comes to considering filling it, and being like, yeah, I've seen, like, 3 of those already.
Yeah. They probably post a whole bunch of wrecks for you if you posted that, because they just assume you're a new guy and they go, yep, these are all the good fix. They'll already be done.
Exactly.
Have you guys been... This is one of my favorite new trends. I don't know if this would be considered crack fic, but it's just like Daredevil and the Hamilton soundtrack, or just generally any part of Hamilton. There is a fic I am hungrily devouring that's just about Alexander Hamilton comes back to life and now he works with Nelson and Murdoch.
If you're reading on the meme, I'm the Anon who keeps commenting on every single part.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's just like, I don't know how, like, it's so wild, like, but all of it makes sense, and I can totally see every character, including Lin-Manuel Miranda's characterization of Alexander Hamilton. I can see all of it happening, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to get the fun ones. That's what happens when you get the OOC and the crack fic, is that you get stuff that's really terrible. Like, you get a bunch of stuff where you're reading it and you're like, these are clearly new writers coming into the fandom who are now writing stuff, or, you know, this is not very good. But then you equally will get stuff where, because it's so out there, it's super really just fun, right?
Yeah.
And kind of crazy. Like, the Daredevil Archer one was actually really, really good. It got a fill, and it was really good. So, I'm not, like, anti-crack fic.
Oh, me neither.
And I'm not anti-out of character, even, either, if it's well done. But I just think it's interesting that we're now in that phase, right?
Definitely.
Where I think certain writers have kind of gone away, who were more interested in certain things, and then new writers are also always coming in. So it's just interesting to kind of see our fandom just get a little weird and kind of get its freak on in a way that it wasn't before.
Right.
Like, not necessarily in a kinky way, because I honestly think some of the best smut writers have actually kind of moved away from our fandom, unfortunately. But I think that in a fun way, in a, like, crack fic out there, you know, Matt and Foggy get abducted by aliens or something, kind of like...
Seen that one
what
yet.
If. I haven't seen that one yet either, actually. I might prompt that one. But, you know, in that kind of way, it's going to get kind of fun.
Can we just talk about one trend that I haven't seen in Daredevil that I'd actually love to see more of?
Sure.
Minor characters. Especially for the characters like Ben Urich and Brett Mahoney. Like...
I love Brett Mahoney. Oh,
but there's no fic for him. Like, I've written half of it that's, like, got him as a main character, and it's... I'd love to see more, but no one seems to be writing it.
I'm praying for more, because he shows up in Jessica Jones, and I love him, so...
Well, yeah. See, this is a long rant for me, because you guys know, anyone who's in Daredevil fandom who kind of follows me will know, and it got a lot of reblogs on Tumblr, so maybe even people outside of that group would know, that I went on a little bit of a Tumblr rant a while ago about Ben Urich specifically, and this goes in again to when fandom codifies things. One of the things it does is it kind of sets in stone fanon, but it also sets in stone what things it doesn't really want to include.
Right.
And you could read Daredevil fic, and you could not have seen the show, and you wouldn't know Ben Urich was a character.
Yeah.
Right? Given how central he is to the plot of season one, that he is essentially the main character, really, after Matt, Foggy, and Karen, you could not even know he was there.
He has his own character arc, like...
He has multiple character arcs.
With his wife. I
mean, his boss, right? Mm-hmm. So I really did not understand that, and that goes into a lot of the stuff we've talked about on the podcast before about, you know, fans and their, again, I said it earlier, their love of this sexy white guy, right? He's older, he's a minority, I think some people felt intimidated to write for him. I understood why it happened, even if I didn't agree with it, because fandom tends to have an issue with minority characters, older characters... characters who are not sexy. His arc was kind of, I think, one that most younger people couldn't really relate to.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
I will say with Brett, I wish there was a lot more. I ran a Daredevil minor character fic fest not that long ago to try to really inspire more people to write the minor characters. Because, I mean, we're talking about the three who at least get written about a little. But, you know, Nobu from The Hand, Madame Gao, some of the other minor villains. There was so much being written about the two Russian brothers. So much in the fandom that was irritating. And again, it goes into them being white. It goes into them being sexy.
They're not
sexy.
I'm sorry.
They're moderately sexy to some people.
I guess looking at them won't make your eyes fall out of your head. But it's just...
But essentially, all of the white characters were getting just so much written about them. And there are a lot of minority characters in Daredevil who just got completely wiped out of the show's history, according to fanfiction. I was saying, actually, in an earlier conversation, that Santino, who is the Hispanic kid who helps Matt and Claire at one point, and knows that Matt is Daredevil, is erased, which is too bad, because this little minor dangling thread of this one kid who's friends with Claire, who knows who Matt is... is really, really, really interesting if you wanted to write fic about him, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting, yeah, that on the one hand, Fanon kind of comes in and says, these are the things that are canon, even though they're not, but on the other hand, it also erases parts of canon that are there. These things never happened, right? And the minority characters are unfortunately a lot of what's going on with that in Daredevil. There's also not as much being written about Karen as you would expect.
No.
Like, right.
Initially, there was a fair amount, especially for the Matt, Foggy, Karen, OT3, but that kind of went away after a while, and you're lucky now in most Matt, Foggy fics if she even makes an appearance, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. We'll see what happens in Season 2. Maybe Season 2 will inspire people to revisit some of these characters. Let's talk about Jessica Jones. So, earlier I mentioned that if you were an Iron Man fan, that fandom would have become very different when the Avengers came out. And I feel with Daredevil, that Daredevil fandom will become very different as he becomes part of the planned Defenders crossover event. And I know our fandom is very conscious of that, because one of the things that our meme had an enormous kind of conversation about recently was, we knew that Jessica Jones was coming out. How do we deal with Jessica Jones spoilers and the inevitable flood of crossovers, for one? And for two, do we stay just a Daredevil meme and allow the other Defenders to each have their own and then figure out everything else later? Or do we say now that we know that the Defenders fans are also going to be Daredevil fans, and we are a Defenders-friendly meme.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a back and forth that got heated. There were some trolls involved. There was a vote. There was a lot of very, very heated conversation.
Weren't people basically doing the virtual equivalent of stuffing the ballot box?
Yes. Yeah. That was happening. So I feel for our poor mod on the kink meme on that one. But ultimately what we decided to do is that we do have a Jessica Jones post on the Daredevil meme. We opened that up, we said this is where anything, even a crossover with Daredevil, even a Daredevil fic about the events of Jessica Jones has to go, just to separate out spoilers for people. And we picked up a couple of the web addresses as well that now link to us and said we're going to run a Jessica Jones meme.
Right.
One of the things people were concerned with about Jessica Jones was a typical fandom thing, which is... fandom's kind of sometimes lack of interest in things that, as we mentioned, do not have sexy guys that they can ship with other sexy guys. So I think a lot of people wanted to have the Jessica Jones meme there as well, because there was some concern that maybe fandom wouldn't embrace those characters in that show the way it should.
Yeah, I had a bad feeling that Jessica Jones, like, on its own, might not even survive long enough for a kink meme. Like, part of the reason why that is because Jessica Jones' main character is female. Her love interest is a black man. A lot of the show deals with abuse themes, and it's not as much of a, like, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but Daredevil is a much lighter show in comparison to Jessica Jones. It talks about abuse, but it doesn't get as, like, existential and, you know, just deeply rooted as Jessica Jones is, where everything is rooted in some form of abuse. And I think for that reason, a lot of the sexual aspect of Jessica Jones is a lot harder to tackle than Daredevil, because a lot of it is rooted in abuse of another person.
I also think, too, that it's not just that the lead character is female, or that her love interest is Luke Cage. It's that there is honestly one white guy who could be considered sexy in the show, which is David Tennant, who fandom really, really loves. So, you know, that's fair. But he's supposed to be a psychopathic, rapist, murderer, completely unsympathetic character, and there isn't anyone else who fits that fan stereotype
Simpson. Of a character. Simpson does. Simpson, where David Tennant's character is, like, the nice guy blown so far out of proportion that it's horrifying, I call Simpson the real man trope, where he's just so much idealized masculinity and toxic masculinity that it's just like, kill everything, blow everything up, the solution to everything is to just destroy it. And it's just like, there is no white man on that show that is any semblance of normal, other than maybe Ruben. But Ruben is just like, he, you know what happens to Ruben.
And I think too that I think if you wanted to ship either of those, because of the way they behave, I think it would make a lot of people uncomfortable to do so.
Right.
Which is too bad, because I think that the themes of mothers and daughters, the themes of female friendship, there's just so much rich stuff there to explore, right? And, I mean, we don't know, we can't say yet that fandom isn't going to emerge. The kink meme has a fairly active Jessica Jones post. It's not as active as Daredevil's was by a long shot, but it's there.
Right.
So we'll see, right?
Right.
Birdie, what do you think about that?
I think it'll probably have the same sort of thing happen that happened with Daredevil. It'll start off with a lot of crossovers, although hopefully with Daredevil, with Daredevil and the wider MCU. That'll be how people first start getting into it. We've seen a lot of it already. I've written a few of it already, actually. But hopefully people will really start to pick up on the friendship. Like, I'd love to read loads and loads of fic about Trish and Jessica as kids, as adults, as anything.
I am very happy as well about the femslash culture for the two of them that's starting to emerge, because that is what I thought initially when I watched the show, was like, okay, this needs to be, if this was two men saying this stuff to each other and having this level of emotion, it would be a ship.
Right. Yeah, it was funny because in the beginning I saw a lot of people saying, well, they're sisters, so it's not okay to do that. And initially I agreed with it, but I was talking to you and I was talking to other friends about this, you know, who have had their own experiences, and they're like, well, you know, Trish and Jessica don't really treat each other like they're related or that they're sisters. It's just that they're friends that go back a really long time, and I think that's a lot less of an uncomfortable dynamic to ship than, like, literally viewing one another as sisters the way that Thor and Loki view each other as brothers.
Yeah, I mean, they were what, supposed to be like, you know, 14, 15 in high school when they started living together, which is the age you would sexually experiment anyway, right? In my mind.
And also you wouldn't have grown up with that person.
I didn't actually realize that they were considered sisters until the very last episode when it is explicitly stated. Like, even though I saw the adoption bit, I still didn't compute in my head, oh yeah, these are sisters.
And you could also read it as the person who refers to them as sisters
is Kilgrave.
And that could be a way of him subtly getting in a dig at their lesbian relationship, too. If he knows that it's more than just sisters. Like, that could be him getting in a dig of another manipulation, right?
He's obsessed with Jessica, so of course he's not going to refer to them as anything other than maybe sisters, because he doesn't want them to be anything but that.
Oh, yeah.
One interesting thing that occurred to me about Jessica Jones as well is that I do think that fandom just reacts differently to female characters. So even when I saw the reaction in some of the off-topic discussion posts or some of the conversations on Tumblr about the show after, there was a lot of, well, Jessica's just too much of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of hostile reaction to the female characters. There was a lot of hating on kind of Hogarth. There's just a lot of kind of really, to me, that's like, well, this is why we can't have nice things, guys. Like, we complain and we complain about a lack of complex female characters, and then, you know, they hand you a bunch, and you kind of go, yeah, we're gonna go back to writing that ship fic between the two white guys.
Oh, like, my God.
It annoyed me a little bit, because we've talked so much on this show, I feel like, before about internalized misogyny and kind of women responding to female characters in that way. So with Jessica Jones, I think that that was a lot going to be built in to the fan reaction. But I will say this, I did have a moment where I had to kind of check myself and think about something, because I initially thought I ship Jess and Trish, but I had an innate reaction the moment I thought that to, I don't want to do that because there are so few good female friendships to begin with in media that I'm hesitant to take it and make it a romance, because it doesn't happen that you ever see two female friends who are that close who have that kind of relationship.
Right.
So it kind of put things into perspective for me too, of just maybe sometimes the reason there's less femme slash or that we're reacting to female characters differently is because we are not used to seeing them. Which I don't agree necessarily always with that argument, but I think it's part of it.
I think it also has to do with how women, when they're in relationships with other women, this is just from an observation, but those relationships are so desexualized, not by men who tend to hypersexualize them, but in general, in media and stuff like that. I'm sure you guys have seen that picture of Kristen Stewart with a girl who is almost certainly romantically involved with her, and the tabloid was calling them gal pals and stuff like that. Even though they were almost definitely having sex, it was just because they were two women who were being affectionate with each other, and people think that women being affectionate with each other is like a baseline normalcy type thing, that they thought they were just friends.
I also think that people's perceptions of lesbianism, like you said, on the one hand, it's the male hypersexualization of two women together. But on the other hand, I think people also picture, like, the two widowers who just decided to live together after their husbands died, and they call each other partners now, and they garden together. Like, I think people assume that lesbianism is something as well, that two women who are friends can say that they're in a relationship. And that lesbians are not having as kinky or as much sex as gay men would.
Yeah.
Right? Which is weird. Like, I think people are just more okay with lesbians having kind of queer platonic relationships versus, you know, hot sex and being sexually attracted to one another. It's a very strange double standard.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Jessica, that we actually have two canonical lesbian relationships. And people haven't been writing about that either. Like,
Can I just say how happy I was about the matter-of-fact way that it treated Hogarth's marriage, right? Like, she could easily have been a male character in that exact same love triangle. Like, it was a very matter-of-fact kind of thing of her relationship with Wendy and then her relationship with Pam, for her to have that arc done in a way that wasn't specifically about them being particularly lesbians. It was really just about who Hogarth was as a person and who these other two women were as people, which I appreciated greatly.
It was a very well done arc.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Jessica Jones fic is going to go. I know, Mandy, you and I had a couple of conversations before the show came out that we were worried that fandom was going to do what fandom seems to do, and that there was going to be a glut of Kilgrave, Jessica romanticizing their time together fix.
Yeah.
There is. AO3 has, you know, quite a few of those. They're not as predominant as I was expecting, but for a fandom that loves to hook up Loki in a very rapey way with women, right?
Yeah.
It made sense to me that they were going to do that. But it wasn't as much as I was expecting.
I definitely called it when I said that they were going to be shipping him with Jessica, though, because when it comes down to it, when you're shipping Kilgrave with Jessica, what you're basically saying is, I don't care what Jessica feels like as a character. I want to use Jessica as a vehicle for my own feelings toward David Tennant. And I think that in a lot of these fics, mind you, I don't read these fics because I don't like them, but I feel like that's how people are approaching it, is that they're projecting their feelings onto David Tennant through Jessica.
Yeah, that's the same way, and it hasn't come out yet, but we have a Real Person fic episode that's going to come out where we talked about a lot of this, and the idea that people who don't want to write Real Person fic for whatever reason will project what should really be a Real Person fic into a fandom, right?
Right.
So, like, it's the same thing as Loki. You know, most of the really fluffy bunny Loki fic is essentially Tom Hiddleston fic. I totally understand that that's what happens with Kilgrave sometimes. I also understand that for people who like the kinky stuff, I like the kinky stuff, but I will tell you what, I had a bunch of days after Jessica Jones came out where, a really good non-con fic would come up that normally I would jump all over, even in a complete other fandom, and I had a bunch of days after Jessica Jones dropped where I was just like, I cannot do it.
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, it was done in a way where the show itself so completely avoided any of the traps of romanticizing that or kind of hinting that in any way she wanted it, in any way it was something she would ever have enjoyed. In every possible way he was wrong, and they made him so repugnant in that. And I think they reminded so many women of the worst guy who all women have met.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That I think they made it difficult for fans to do that, but you just know that there's some people out there who are still going to do that, because that's the preferences of some people in fandom.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that Kilgrave's signature was smile.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, that goes again into, like, street harassment, and mm-hmm. there was just... Honestly, this is kind of a fan fiction podcast, so I don't want to get too into, like, all of us unpacking Jessica Jones a million ways from Sunday, but there was some amazing just stuff that show did that you never see done. And I will say, you're right, it was darker than Daredevil, like, by a lot, which I would have thought was impossible. Like, I had a hard time sitting through Daredevil. People were asking me, how did you watch Daredevil? And I had to be like, because it's Daredevil. But with Jessica Jones, it was really disturbing in parts. And it was much less traditionally superhero-y.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Daredevil, I think, was a good ease-in to the Defenders because it kind of follows the traditional arc you're kind of used to seeing in a movie. At the end, he puts on the suit and he's Daredevil. And there's a kind of a black-and-white morality, at least a little bit, to what Matt Murdock does. With Jessica Jones, it's obviously a lot more complex and just a lot more interesting. I hope that we get good fic.
Yeah. I really do.
I'm not, at the moment, as inspired to write it yet as I was with Daredevil, but I'm in that phase where I keep thinking in my mind about, you know, Trish's relationship with her mother and what it would have been like for Jessica and Trish when they were younger. You know, there are certain angles on it that I just keep going over. So there might be a Jessica Jones fic in me at some point, and I certainly want to read a lot of it.
Yeah.
Right.
My question to you guys then to finish up here is, before we move on to fic recs, is where do you think Daredevil fandom is kind of going to be heading as we go into season 2, as we go into Luke Cage, and move towards the entire Defenders team coming together? What do you see happening in the future of our fandom? And Birdie, we'll start with you.
Well, I definitely see crossovers. Like, I can see people trying to predict what's going to happen with the Defenders. I see a lot of that. I'm going to call it now, there's going to be some shit wars. Like, I can't... people being respectful so far, but the Matt Frank is so strong already that there's going to be some sort of shit war. I just can't see us escaping it. Every fandom has it. Unless people are really, really respectful, which is starting to not become a thing in the Daredevil fandom anymore. It used to be really respectful, and now it's not. Well, not as much as it was. I can see a shit war.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to get some trolls.
Yeah, so I'm going to call it there's going to be some... It might not be as big as, say, the John Locke sort of shit wars happening Sherlock, but there'll be something, at least. I don't want it to happen. I really don't, but I'm calling it. It's going to happen.
Can I ask you something too, Birdie? So let's say that we have a ship war, right? Let's say that season 2 comes out and there are Matt Foggy people who get re-inspired and there are enormous amounts of Matt Frank people. Where do you think that leaves Karen Page in any of this? Because if season 2 hints even more strongly that she might hook up with Matt And if now there are two ships competing that want to get rid of her, I could see there being some Karen bashing issues coming up in the Daredevil fandom as well.
We had a few Karen bashing issues a little while ago. She's one of those characters, she's fairly divisive. Either you really like her or a lot of people really hate her. So I can see that becoming a bit of an issue as well. Or more likely, people will be so busy fighting the two characters that she'll just be forgotten. Not even bashed, she'll just not exist in the fic. Because you mentioned that a lot of fics with Matt Foggy just don't mention her. She just doesn't.
See, that's right now where the state of things is, that she wasn't officially hooked up with any of them. I feel like if the show goes so far as to actually officially hook her up with Matt...
Yeah, then I can see some pretty dark stuff happening to her, or the dark history that she's got had hinted at becoming the reason that people use to destroy her, sort of thing.
I can see a lot of Daredevil fans who are already setting themselves up for disappointment with season 2 of it not fitting their headcanons.
Yeah.
Amanda, what do you think about everything that's going to be coming up in the world of our fandom?
I'm really excited to see Luke Cage released, and here's why. They're talking a lot about how Luke Cage is probably going to tonally follow the theme of The Wire about street crime and, you know, the underworld and the ghetto and stuff like that. I think Luke, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be operating in Harlem, which is a traditionally, historically black neighborhood, and he operates without a mask. And he's not like Jessica, in which she just prefers not to use a mask because she thinks it's goofy. I feel like a lot of the reason he doesn't operate with a mask is because a black superhero with a mask would be under a lot more danger than a white superhero with a mask. And I feel like it would be a great discussion between Matt and Luke to talk about, you know, what it costs to wear a mask and why it might be easier for Matt to wear the mask versus Luke to wear a mask, because Luke is already a very big man. He's got bulletproof skin. He's got super strength. It's very easy for someone to say, oh, well, he's attacking me, blah, 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 even though we know that Luke is a very historically gentle person and he only fights when he absolutely needs to. So I really want to see conversations about, you know, Matt wearing the mask versus Luke not wearing the mask, and, you know, if they're ever going to address that level of privilege with being a superhero in the shows.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about fan fiction, right? Is that if they don't do it in the show, we can hopefully get fic that kind of is able to bridge that gap.
Right.
Like, if they don't get there. I mean, I'm a little nervous about Iron Fist being added to the Defenders. There's been rumors lately that they might swap Iron Fist out for someone like Moon Knight or Punisher and avoid him entirely. And Hogarth is an Iron Fist character.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that they're still doing Iron Fist. I know that for a lot of people, Iron Fist is somewhat problematic, right? Out of all of the Defenders.
Right.
Because there is kind of some weird Asian culture co-option in his character because of the fact that, unlike Luke Cage, who was originally created as a kind of response to black exploitation, which at least kind of made sense because he got to be a black superhero, Iron Fist was created as a response to kung fu movies.
Right.
But he is a white guy.
Well, I mean, even back then you had kung fu movies starring white guys, but unlike Luke Cage, who is almost sort of a counterpoint to a blaxploitation film, because again, he's got bulletproof skin, which is the most ironic superpower to have for a black character, especially, you know, considering all these problems with the police that have been happening lately. I feel like Iron Fist didn't try to sort of deconstruct any of the tropes within a kung fu movie where the white character is better than all the other Asian characters. Instead, it just perpetuates it.
Yeah. So I think Iron Fist is one of those ones that a lot of fans are already prepared to really, really, really hate. I've already seen a lot of Danny hate of, like, I can't believe they're making that, blah, blah, blah. Which is annoying me because I really quite enjoy Iron Fist as a character in the comics. I think he's going to be a welcome addition. I really want to see his friendship with Luke in the Defenders.
Yeah.
I anticipate much, much, much Danny Luke shipping when they finally do get that, you know, all four of them made. There needs to be Danny Luke shipping. It's a thing. Come on. So we'll see if the fandom goes in that direction or not. We'll see how big Jessica Jones gets and how big Luke Cage gets. I think that it's nice that there are more characters for Daredevil fans to write about in the context of Matt Murdock's world. That's going to inject some fresh ideas and creativity into the fandom, I think, having that. I'm looking forward to reading the many, many, many crossovers with Jessica Jones that I know are already happening and are going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
And what do you see kind of happening as season two airs as well? Do you see the fandom growing again, or do you see people flooding back to it and then leaving again?
I see it growing purely because I think that Daredevil's only going to get better from here, especially as much as I don't like the Punisher. I feel like that plot line with Matt between the Punisher and Elektra is going to get really, really in depth. And I feel like a plot like that will probably pull in more fans the way that Hannibal season 3's ending pulled in more fans. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna get smaller from here on out.
Do you guys have fics that you want to wreck within Daredevil fandom?
I don't have it written down, but I really like that Hamilton fic that I was talking about with Alexander Hamilton.
Queen with a beef burn is called We Keep Living Anyway.
So that's the crack ficky phase of our fandom, and you're quite enjoying it, you said, eh? So we'll go with that one for your fic wreck this week. And what about you, Birdie?
I'm going to go with I Am Not Your Jim Gordon by Werewolves Are Real. It's pretty much is about the fact that Daredevil, in the last few episodes, especially Brett Mahoney is the guy that he sends the criminal to, and then it sort of explores where he keeps doing that, and the whole idea that those purges that cleaned out all the Fist men, all the corrupt cops in Hell's Kitchen, didn't quite manage to get everyone, and that maybe Brett's the only good cop in Hell's Kitchen, and he's definitely Daredevil's inside man, which he's not too impressed about. Yeah, so it's a good fic.
I want to read it now.
So the one that I'm going to rec is a really good example from pretty early on. It's from June, so the show had been only out a few months, of the kind of fic that was just really psychological and in-depth to the relationship of kind of Matt and Foggy that a lot of people came for. Not at all crack ficky, and kind of just really, you could tell writers were just energized about the fandom in like a deep way. And it's actually by one of our other contributors, we've had Lita on the show before. So this is a fic by Marmalita, and it does what we talked about. It kind of rehashes episode 10, Nelson v. Murdock, and it's called No More Lies. And it is essentially a fic about Foggy and Matt in the course of Nelson v. Murdock confronting each other, not just about Matt's lies, but about Foggy's long-standing attraction to Matt, which is one-sided. It's not reciprocated because Matt is straight and Foggy is bisexual, and it's entirely between the two of them hashing their issues out in the middle of the show, supposing that this is an undercurrent of it. And it's really good. It's just a little kind of a drabble type of story. But it just kind of is really meaty and proof of kind of the types of things the fandom was originally kind of exploring, before it kind of got crack ficky and people left for other fandoms and things happened. So that is my fic rec. So that's actually a pretty good diversity, right? We have the minor character fic, we have that one, and we have the kind of Hamilton crossover
crack
fun times.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, everyone, and a big thank you to anyone who sent us feedback or their thoughts on the show. I'm sure everyone listening can understand what a joy it is to get that comment on your fic or that kudos. So anytime I hear from a listener, I get that same feeling, and I appreciate all of it. I have a couple of particularly interesting pieces of feedback, actually, that I wanted to share this week. The first is from a user named Cosette on AO3. Now, Cosette had a lot to say about a variety of episodes. I'm not actually going to read the whole comment out. I think it's quite lengthy, and I wanted to just kind of sum it up. But she was concerned about the fact that we addressed the commenter MF22 a few weeks ago, who commented about his dislike of slash pairings and his irritation with people who didn't warn for them. And we didn't mention the potential ways in which an across-the-board dislike of slash pairings could be interpreted by some people as homophobic. Now, the reason I want to address that is because it gets into something really important about our show, which is that I don't want us to be in the business of necessarily judging anyone. Which is not to say that disliking slash pairings is or isn't homophobic. I'm sure that there are some listeners out there who will agree or disagree with our decision not to state that. But we don't know what that commenter really meant. We could be misinterpreting it. And they also have the right to feel how they feel as well, without us leveling accusations at them. The point is that sometimes people have viewpoints or opinions that are controversial, including us, and the point of this show is to not have knee-jerk reactions, but rather to let everyone share their opinions and recognize that we can all agree to disagree. Now, you just heard in this last hour all three of us on the show share a dislike of the Matt Frank pairing, discuss internalized misogyny and the way that shipping Kilgrave or Jessica Jones is problematic. Are we the last word on Daredevil fandom? Absolutely not. All of that is purely our opinion. It's based on our own observations from within the fandom. In no way do we mean to imply that people who like those pairings are wrong, just like we in no way mean that all writers who downplay Karen Page or other female characters are wrong. Anytime on this show when we talk about trends or things we've noticed, or when we try to pinpoint the reasons why things happen in fandom, or discuss the ways that things as a whole can sometimes be concerning, it's never meant to disparage the writers of those stories individually, or to tell people to stop writing them. Fandom is what fandom is, and we all love it, and we know that, or we wouldn't be here. So when we bring up issues or problems that we personally have, or irritations, it's really just wanting to be able to talk about those issues and concerns, and be self-reflective, and allow everyone to bring their opinion or theory to the table. And the conversations that then continue after our show are also a part of that. So I want to thank Cosette for that comment, also a few other really in-depth ones that she made regarding her thoughts on Ginny Weasley from our OTPs and shipping episode, regarding beta reading. I never want the word on this show to be the final one on a topic, and I love to see fans engaging with one another to share different viewpoints and engaging with one another as people who can have different opinions. So please keep that up, everybody. Now, the second piece of feedback I want to share is from Tumblr. It's from Hunter Angel Blog, and they write, and I will read theirs out. Hi guys, I'm an avid listener to the podcast and a real lover of fanfiction. I just had one small comment for the show. Is there any way to get a more sex-positive viewpoint, guests, or topics on the podcast? Currently listening to the Warnings app, and it's following a slight trend in your show for non-sex positivity. The reason I love your show is because it treats fanfic with respect, and a big part of fanfic right now is sex. It's helped a lot of women be more open and accepting of their own wants and fantasies, and as a whole is a very sex-positive place. It would be great if this show could reflect that. Thanks for all that you guys do, and please believe that I'm a huge fan of the show. Now, this is also one that I wanted to make sure I talked about because it's important to me. When I started this show, it was with every intention of maintaining a sex-positive outlook and of exploring many, many different topics related to sexuality and sex. And then, unfortunately, based on my recording schedule and contributor availability and a host of other factors, I went 6 episodes in a row without really talking specifically about sex, and with topics that when we did get into sex, it was really to talk about ways in which fan fiction can be problematic or have issues related to it. So we got into it a little bit when we talked about gender, when we talked about OTPs, and finally Warnings, Triggers, and Squick last week. I know we could also be perceived as a little bit down on shipping. I hope that it doesn't come across that way in our OTPs episode. I mean, we talked about, we love romance tropes in our Angst and Hurt Comfort. We talked about that as well. But I do understand fully that none of those episodes are really about embracing fanfiction as a sex-positive place for lovers of erotica the way that our first episode did, and the way that I intend for later episodes to do. So to Hunter Angel Blog, I want to say that you'll be very happy to know that in the new year, we do have episodes coming up that are already recorded on topics like consent, the rise of kink memes, and we actually have a gigantic, jam-packed celebration of fanfiction as erotica that will be extra long, so we had 3 contributors on that one. I personally can't promise that sometimes my own desire as the mod to play the devil's advocate on certain topics and my own ace status won't bleed into how I talk about sex, but I do seek out sex-positive contributors. I am friends with a lot of people who write smut and explicit fic. Honestly, I love PWPs and explicit fic. It's the majority of what I read. So I apologize that we've been a little bit behind the ball in covering that topic, and I hope that everyone forgives me as we head into a very sexy new year for the show. I want to thank Manda and Birdie again for contributing. I want to give another shout out to Peter Chakowski, otherwise known as Rock Paper Cynic. He wrote our wonderful theme song, and he also put together our show logo. If you want to know when a new episode of our show is available, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes and review us there. And you can also subscribe right from within Archive of Our Own or use most podcasting apps. We also are on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, so please come check us out. We recently updated our Tumblr page, actually, to make it a bit cleaner to navigate and make sure our menu's all linked correctly. So whenever an episode drops, we do spend the weeks after posting relevant links and info if people are interested in that. And as always, I'll sign off by reminding you that your kink is not my kink, and that is okay.